Bond of Reunion. Six good companions vowed one end of summer night that they would sometime come back to Pascagoula. They had parted in many another September, knowing that in June they would be together again beside Mississippi's Gulf waters. Now they were possessed by the youthful mood of perhaps never again, as their driftwood fire lighted the weathered pillars of the house behind them and the line of shore ahead where dark ripples winked on the white sand. The four girls had been childhood neighbors and close friends in New Orleans. Two of them would be graduating from college in the spring, and there would be no more long, sun-drenched vacations at the rambling seaside house of Jane's mother. The two boys were brothers, Bud and Jimmy, and they had grown up in Pascagoula, helping the widowed mother with her pecan orchards and running wild in the moss-hung woods and along the Gulf Coast bayous. "It won't take," said Jimmy, youngest of the party, "unless each one of us leaves something he likes behind him. Then we can be sure there'll be a time when we can all be back to tell each other all that's happened to us since we went away." "What do you like most of all?" said Bud, laughing, knowing what his brother's answer would be. "The sparrows," said Jimmy promptly, and all looked for the black outline of his catboat rocking at her mooring just offshore. "It's funny," said Elizabeth thoughtfully, "but I never think of the sparrow as belonging to anybody. She's more like one of us, the seventh one. We've sailed her over every inch of water in miles and miles. She's taken us swimming every summer day since we were infants. We all love her so much. Well, almost as much as Jimmy does."
"I reckon if we leave her here," said Jimmy, "each one of us will be leaving the one thing in Pascagoula he loves most. And she'll make sure we'll be back, all of us, whenever the time comes."
The five who still live say their vow was all but forgotten 6 years later. They were scattered as they had known they would be, and the idea of reunion had become impracticable and remote. Elizabeth had married a Yankee and lived in faraway New York. Of the rest of the girls, one was a social worker in Virginia, one was a housewife in Baton Rouge, and Jane, whose mother now lived the year round in Pascagoula, was teaching in a New Orleans grammar school. Then a letter brought each one of them an almost unbearable sorrow. "Jimmy has been murdered," wrote Jane's mother. "He took a load of pecans into New Orleans and had to leave the truck in town for repairs. On his way to the railroad station, he was hit over the head and robbed by someone who must have seen him receive payment for the load. He lay in the gutter, his skull crushed, for an hour or so before he was picked up. He died unidentified in Charity Hospital the next day." The girls say they were so overcome with grief on reading the letter that the postscript made little impression on their minds, though they all remembered it later. The sparrow has gone. On the day Jimmy died, when no one was looking, she slipped her moorings and drifted away. Of course, Bud has had no time yet to look for her. I notified our friends, the Coast Guard, and they tell me they have made a thorough search of all bayous, but have found no trace of her. The end of the story came 3 years later, and not so long ago. Elizabeth went to New Orleans to have the family doctor remove her tonsils. After the operation, the social worker came home on her vacation, and the Baton Rouge housewife could not resist the opportunity of being with her old friends. Though they had seen each other separately, it was the first time that all four girls had been together since the night on the beach when they had made their vow. On the first day of the weekend, they were motoring to Pascagoula. "It won't be the same without Jimmy," said Elizabeth. "I don't know whether I can stand it." "You get used to his not being there," said Jane. Their automobile crossed the bridge over the Pascagoula River into the town at 4 o'clock. They knew this because they looked at their watches when Elizabeth exclaimed that the new roads had made the trip hours shorter than it used to be.
They stopped at a drugstore for a few minutes to buy cigarettes, then drove the 2 miles out to the old beach house. Jane's mother stood in the doorway, and Elizabeth jumped from the car and ran to greet her. She stopped short when she saw that the older woman was pale and wild-eyed, shaking with emotion. "The sparrow came home," she said. "At 4 o'clock she drifted in. She's down there bumping the seawall now." As the eyes of the girls followed the direction of her pointing, they saw the top of the little mast bobbing up and down. And suddenly Bud was with them, an older Bud whose eyes seemed to burn with grief. "He told us that the sparrow would see that we all came back," he said. "And now, don't say it," said Jane sharply. And they were all silent in the shock of their inescapable surmise.